The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, joining me is someone who is a household name, and she is just after giving up her job. I know it's not an easy thing to do, but she's done it, and where she'll go from here, I don't know. But one of the things that she has been doing, in addition to her day job, which was very demanding, is writing children's books. And her first book, Granny National, is now out. It's published by Puffin Books in association with Sandy Cove. Rachel Blackmore, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me on.
So you gave it up?
I did. I finished up writing, but I had an incredible career, and yeah, I'm able to kind of look back at it all now and take it all in. So I was very lucky.
I was reading, it was kind of spontaneous. You had thought maybe mid-year you might throw in the towel on being a jockey, but it happened more suddenly than that.
Yeah, I had a small thought in Cheltenham this year, just as I was leaving the weigh room. I kind of, you know, it was the first time I ever got an inkling of that. I was like, you know, I just thought maybe I won't be back here next year. And another part of my brain was like,
so you think this could be the last time?
Yeah, so it was just the first time it kind of just hit me that I mightn't be back in Cheltenham. And I said I'd think about it in the June break in the summer. The jockeys get a break in June. So I said, oh, look, I'll just think about it then. So I kind of forgot about it. And yeah, then I was just on the way to Cork the other day. And I just thought, if the mayor was writing one, maybe that's the time to go. And that's decided then after it that it was the right time.
And the name of the mayor was kind of auspicious.
Yeah, my mother told me what it meant.
La Belle Étoile.
Yeah, you can tell
it. Beautiful star.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, the stars were aligning for you. But then the mayor did win and you said, that's it.
Yeah, I hadn't spoken to anyone about it. So, you know, I needed to talk to one or two people about it the next day and make sure it was the right thing to do. But in my own mind, when I pulled up, I think that's going to be my last winner. It just kind of felt like the right time. And yeah. Just.
And then 24 hours later, when you did tell a few people, what then? I mean, did you any kind of second thoughts, or did you just know this is the right decision? In your bones.
Yeah, I just felt like it was the right decision. I spoke to my family and so on Sunday and began trying to write something to release on Monday. It was a massive decision. You know, you're stopping doing something that you love doing. That's your job. I feel so privileged that I got to be a jockey and that was my job because I love doing it. You know, there's not that many people that get to do that in life. So, you know, it was a very hard thing to come away from.
Now, some of the things that have been said about you since you retired, and I mean, glorious things have been said about you when you were still riding, but they were saying like you're the bravest of the brave.
Oh, look, there's been just such amazing things written, and it's kind of hard to read those things about yourself, but I really feel like I can take them in now. People have just been so kind. I've gotten messages off so many different people and phone calls, and yeah, it's just amazing. I've been just blown away by it, to be honest.
The point is, I said you know, did you feel it in your bones it was the right time? How many broken bones did you have over your career?
Yeah, look, plenty. You know, every jockey can list off different things like my hip, my ankle, my neck, my nose, wrist, collarbone. You know, there was plenty there. But on a whole, I actually think I did well on the injury side of it. I were very well looked after as jockeys, and you know, was able to overcome those injuries, and I'm perfectly 100% now, and it was nothing to do with injury, my decision.
Yeah. So the people around you, though, I'm sure many of them were, maybe they didn't say it to you directly, but probably relief. She got out of the business intact.
Yeah, definitely. My mother's reaction was delight. Anyway,
she was worried every time you went out and you were going to go over the jumps. She was concerned about you. Mother never stops worrying, I suppose. But when you're doing it all the time, I wonder, would that worry diminish, or would every race be seen as, oh, maybe Rachel won't come home from this one?
Yeah, look, you'd have to ask her, but I know she didn't massively enjoy watching it. but that's just, you know, they were always very supportive of me and my decision to have a career as this. And, you know, they, yeah, it's just going to be an easier life for them now, maybe not having to worry that I'm racing.
You left nothing behind you, though. You achieved pretty much everything.
I was so lucky. I really was. You know, my whole career, you know, it took me a long time to get going. But then when the ball did start rolling, it kept going. And my association with Henry de Bromhead was massive for me. It brought things to a whole new level. And, you know, I got on an extremely good caliber of horse. And yeah, just to look back at it all now is phenomenal.
It's a lucky yard, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a fantastic trainer.
I was thinking of the cash machine.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, the cash machine as well. I was just mentioning that to you earlier.
Every bold journey starts with a decision to go. And if you're ready, the Defender is too. This is a vehicle built for more, whether you're heading off the grid or just getting out of town for the weekend. Defender is a true icon reimagined for a new generation. Its rugged exterior is built from durable materials and tested in the toughest conditions. Inside, it's modern, functional, and refined, with smart storage and premium touches that keep you comfortable wherever the road leads. It's packed with tech, like 3D surround cameras, clear sight ground and rear views, driver assist features, and an intuitive infotainment system. With three models, the Defender 90, 110, and 130, there's a Defender for every kind of adventure. From city streets to remote trails, this is a vehicle that, like you, is capable of great things. Explore the full Defender lineup at LandRoverUSA.com.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Dylan Dunphy got it there about two weeks ago, and yeah, he couldn't have given it to a nicer fella. So yeah, everyone was delighted for him.
It is a lucky yard in the sense of all the great horses and all the great rides that you've had that have allowed that success. But when you're going out for a big race, say the Grand National, which you famously won, I mean, are you scared?
No, scared is not something that you can allow yourself to be. And if you are scared, it's probably not the job for you to be doing. So if that's creeping in, it's definitely time for you to finish. But no, I'm lucky that never crept in for me. Like, I love riding. I'm going to miss riding. I'm going to miss racing. Going to miss the competitive side of winning. Like, essentially, I love winning, you know. So that's all going to be something I'm going to miss.
Yeah. And have you been riding out at all?
No, I haven't ridden out at all since. But yeah, I might now towards the end of the week. You know, I'm not sure what the future has in store. I'm going to figure all that out over the next couple of weeks. I always wanted to kind of think about that when I was finished. And, you know, while I was riding, just focus on that.
Yeah, but I'm sure your body misses it, you know, because your body's used to doing certain things every day and then you stop doing it.
Yeah, I think, it's only been 8 or 9 days. So
yeah, but still, you know, the muscle memory is there. And
we'll keep it ticking over. We'll keep it ticking over see what's in store.
Now, you were a very successful jockey, but I suppose the Grand National is seen as the pinnacle. I mean, what a race it is, such a daunting race. And that was transformative in terms of your reputation in popular culture, shall we say. You know, I mean, people who never go racing, they watch the Grand National. They have a punt on the Grand National. They tend to know the winner, even if they've never watched another race in the whole year.
Absolutely. It's a race that was the first race that captured my imagination as a child. Mm-hmm. I think many families sit down and watch the race that mightn't watch another race all year.
I remember my father used to send us around to the bookies.
Yeah.
You couldn't do it now. You couldn't send a kid around.
Yeah.
But to put a bet on for all of us.
Yeah, you know, yeah. It brings families together. It's just that race. And everyone has those kind of stories. Like, I remember going over to my friend's house and doing a sweepstakes. You know, we'd all get the little cuttings of the newspaper and we'd all have our horses to watch. And I definitely got a feel after winning that race, the reach it has. You know, I got congratulations from all different parts of the world, and it elevated everything for me.
Including some very well-known people.
Yeah, very cool. You know, Ringo Starr messaged me, Billie Jean King. Yeah, phenomenal.
Phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. Meantime, while you were having a little downtime, whenever you found time to have downtime, you were writing a children's book.
Yeah, the children's book, Granny National, it's called. I'm very glad it's finished. Finished now. It definitely took a lot longer than I thought it was going to take. But it's it's just a story that I hope kids enjoy. It's just an adventure story. Definitely inspired by some of the things I experienced as a child growing up on a farm. And it's not just a pony book. We'll say there is a pony on the front cover, but it I hope kids from all different backgrounds enjoy it.
And you have your characters are not all horsey characters. They're different backgrounds to the people who are starring in your book.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I wanted to try and appeal to a broader cross-section of kids, and I hope it's just a fun adventure story that kids enjoy reading no matter what their background. So yeah, I'm sure there'll be the kids can be the judges of it. Yeah. Of it now.
I mean, your characters, there's Rachel, of course, then Frankie, who's into tennis, not into horses necessarily.
Yeah, she's into tennis, yeah. And then you've David, who's from New York and is after coming over to Ireland. And then you've Tom, who's a bit of a mischief maker. So there's plenty of different angles in it.
And Bonnie the dog.
Very important.
And of course, Granny and Grandad. And Grandad is not quite as he used to be, perhaps. He's beginning to fade a bit.
Yeah.
And that's part of the narrative.
Yeah, yeah. That's just an angle. Maybe just wanted to bring a different angle into the book as well. But yeah, we'll see how it all goes down now over the next few weeks. But it was lovely to do it. Although it was maybe not as enjoyable a process as I thought it was going to be. It was a massive undertaking. But Rachel Pierce did it along with me, and she was a massive help. And Penguin were brilliant as well. So it's fantastic to have it finished now, and to go into a bookshop and see it on the shelf is kind of cool.
All the Rachels, though, Rachel Pierce, yourself, and the character Rachel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How much of you is Rachel, the character? A lot, I suspect.
There's bits, yeah, but it's not a direct kind of. It's not direct me either. There's plenty in the book that is inspired by my childhood and things I experienced, but there's plenty that's not as well.
Now tell me about that childhood experience. I mean, were you always around ponies when you were very young?
Yeah, I grew up on a farm, always surrounded by horses and ponies and animals, and I love being outside. And yeah, I had a fantastic childhood. It was brilliant.
And becoming a professional jockey, I mean, there are relatively few women at the very top of the profession as you achieved. When you told your parents that you were going to do this, what was their reaction?
They're always very supportive.
I mean, was it inevitable? Did they watch you and say, oh, we know where this is going?
I think they knew I always wanted to ride as a jockey, as an amateur, which I did in my early 20s. They probably never envisaged me turning professional and having this career, but I never envisaged that either. It just happened that way, and they were always extremely supportive.
How would you say it's changed for females in the business over the years from when you started?
I was very lucky when I went into the weigh room. Nina Carberry, Katie Walsh, they were both there and achieving incredible things. They'd ridden Irish National winners, Cheltenham winners. So they had broken down any bit of stigma that may have been slightly lingering. So I was very lucky.
I don't think either of those would take prisoners.
No, they're both incredibly good, talented riders, seriously good. So that's the mark. That's the benchmark I walked into in the weigh room, and they never made any fuss or deal about being female. So I just carried that forward, and they were fantastic people to have in there.
All right, now the future. Do you have any clue as to what it might hold? I don't know whether you went to college or whatever when you were riding and then became an amateur before you became a professional. Did you have something to fall back on?
Yeah, I have a diploma in equine science and one in business as well. So I've bits and pieces there. What I'm going to do in the future, I don't know. I always kind of thought to myself I'd focus fully on riding while I was riding. And when that stopped, then I'd take time to think about what's in store next.
But we suspect it'll be, given your qualification in equine studies and so on, that it's got to be around horses in some shape or form.
I think I'll always have some involvement in the industry. Where that is going to be or what slant it's going to be, I'm not sure, but I'll take a few weeks and try and figure it out. And yeah, I might have it figured out for a few years, but at some stage, hopefully something will land and click.
Can I see you on the back of a horse with a microphone stretched out to the winner of the Grand National in a few years' time?
No, I don't think that's going to be the road for me. But look, we don't know what way things are going to happen. So we'll see.
Well, the part-time second career is already in full swing. Granny National, the book is called. It's written by Rachel Blackmore with a little help from Rachel Pierce. It's published by Sandy Cove in association with Penguin Books. Puffin Books are the children's branch of all of that. And Rachel Blackmore, thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
Thanks so much, Pat. And just to say, there's a book signing in TRI on the Curragh on Saturday at 11 as well. If anyone is at a loss of what to do on a Saturday, they can come
down.
I'm
sure you'll get a big crowd. Best of luck with the book.
Thank you so much.
And best of luck with whatever you decide to do with the rest of your life.
Thanks so much.
Rachel, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.